You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD!
Hey, Bo, good afternoon, man.
Man, good afternoon to you too, sir. How you doing today?
Man, I'm doing okay. Yeah, I'm doing okay. I'm on an upswing, man. I've had just a terrible bout of bronchitis that, you know, suffered there for about 10 days, and it was pretty brutal. And you know, it's funny. I was talking to the doctor. He was like, you know, well, I said, well, you know, is this contagious? Can I go to work? And he was like, well, it's not contagious. You're fine. Where do you work? And I just kind of paused. You know, I have an upper respiratory disease. Right. And it's like, you know, well, where do you work? Surely it'll be. And I just kind of looked at him. And then finally I told him, and he's like, well, you know, whatever you want to do, man.
It's like, okay. Right.
I'm not inhaling, you know. I mean, it's fine. Anyway, it's been a little hard on my moneymaker, man, my mouth, past few weeks, or a couple weeks anyway. Just haven't puffed on my pipe a whole lot. And that's been frustrating and hard on my daily rhythms. But, man, getting everything back in line. And so we're doing well. Enjoyed the weekend. And, man, it's good to hit the ground running this week. So, yeah, bring it on, man. Hopefully we can stay healthy.
Oh man, look, it's time. You know, we're all getting a little sick after getting back into the world. It's just natural. We haven't been sharing as many germs, and now we're all sharing the germs again. And you know, like I've talked to people. I was like, all right, so you've gotten your post COVID sickness. You've gotten your post COVID. You know what I mean? Like it's true. Like have you gotten your vaccine? Good, you can go back in the world. Have you gotten sick after going back in the world? Good.
Yeah,
all right, now
get
we
that
can
one
hang
out of the
out,
way.
Now our immune.
I know, man. It's ridiculous. You hear this kind of stuff, and you're like, "Well, you know, maybe we should leave the mask on." But no, I'm done with it if I can be. So anyway.
Oh man. Well, so you know, I was actually traveling this last.
Yeah, you went
week.
To the old the Mitten, right?
Yes, sir. Finally, the return of the Grand Rapids meetup. I went out to, of course, my in-laws are all out in the Grand Rapids area, and so I got a chance to visit them, see my little cousin who is not so little anymore, and got to go fishing with my father-in-law. And the great thing is this time my kids and my cousin, or my nephew rather, got to come all with us, and it was so much fun, and it was really something special. I love to go fly fishing. I'm the only one in the group that goes fly fishing, so it's kind of a spectacle for everybody else that I'm out there. But I actually did pretty good, man. I caught a couple of trout this time
great,
around,
man. How about that?
Yeah, listen, I typically have terrible luck, and I just am just, you know, I'm like, hey, look, the leaves are out there and they're pretty, and I guess this time of year the leaves aren't all that pretty, but regardless, it's like, you know, it's right there in let's see, Rockford is the name of the city. They've got kind of this beautiful dam where right at the foot of the dam it's kind of where this trickling river is, and that's where I tend to fish. And man, I found a little bridge. I got right underneath that bridge, and I just started pulling trout. It was great.
You're slaying them. That's awesome.
The funny thing is, I got a text message from a friend whose show I manage, and it was great news. We had gotten featured by iTunes and everything, and there was kind of this on some of their social media platforms.
Yeah.
And I pull out my phone, and the second I pull out my phone, I feel a tug, and I'm like, and you have to understand, this is the first trout I've ever caught. I go fly fishing before pandemic, every single year, and I have never caught a thing. And then like at this moment, I end up catching something. I'm trying to figure out what to do with my phone, because I didn't even bring my vest this year because I'm so out of touch. And like it was a nightmare. But I ended up pulling three trout in total, and so I was quite pleased.
Well, that's great, man. Shoot, that's awesome.
Yeah,
that's
and when awesome. You know it, because I'm so prepared to not catch anything, I didn't bring my creel bag. I didn't bring my vest. Like I was not prepared to even keep anything, because I didn't think I was going to, like every single year I come with all this additional stuff and go home empty handed.
Yeah. Well, and did you have anyone with you to provide evidence? Were there any photos taken or anything like that?
The first one I was like hollering at people, but nobody saw me and it got away. The second one, fortunately, my nephew saw it, and he ran to go get my father-in-law and my daughter, and they came out. And
all right, good. Good. So we do have someone on God's green earth that saw you saw
it's
you
valid.
Catch the fish.
So, that's right. Okay. Yeah, it was great. And my daughter caught a couple too. So we did pretty well. My nephew caught one. We were it was a fun trip. But man, you know, one of the great things that came out of it, of course, is that you know, we do a meetup with the listeners out there. And of course, man, I every single year. How do I say this? Yeah, you know, you could have the best relationship in the world with your in-laws, and there's still something about visiting your in-laws that's not necessarily like your favorite thing. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Sure. Of course. Yeah.
Can I say that? I don't know if I could say that.
I think that's fair. I think that's fair.
It can be a little bit of a, you know, anyway, so point is, I look forward to it. I look forward to the fishing, and I look forward to, you know, my kids being with the grandparents and everything else. And it is good to connect with family and that. And I don't want to besmirch that at all. But
you also really look forward to the Grand Rapids Pipe Club meetup, right?
Well, when you say also, it might be like the thing I look forward to.
Right, right. Of course.
And so this time it was right at the tail end of the trip. And man, it came right on time. And I have got to give a massive thank you to Eric and Rush for just putting together an amazing meetup. Great guys out there. Got to meet some new faces, some old faces, some very special folks, as I was kind of sharing with you before the show as well.
Yeah.
And
awesome.
Man, it was really, it filled me up, man. It filled my soul up. Couple things though I got to make mention of. First of all, I was incredibly honored because they made me an honorary member for life of the Furniture City Pipe Society.
Oh, that's wonderful, man. Yeah.
Yeah. I was extremely honored. They hooked me up with a shirt, and they hooked me up with a couple of their various club blends, including one that is a candidate for this year's club blend, the Kraken, which, oh my goodness, man. I wrestled the Kraken, and let me tell you, that is a fine, fine blend. So I don't know who's going to win. I don't know if I'm allowed to give any, you know, recommendations or anything. So if I'm in trouble for mentioning it, I'm sorry, but man, that was some good pipe tobacco.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So that was really great, man. And Rush. So this was at his house, rather. And like, he took me into the beard cave. Okay. You know, Batman has the bat cave. Beardcore has the beard cave.
Has to have the beard cave, right?
Dude, like, he has got so many beautiful pipes, so much pipe tobacco, a ton of like just a great setup. You know, he was kind of walking me through the story with kind of how he was able to acquire a lot of the things that are in there, connected to his former job at the Tobacco Traders or Buffalo Tobacco Traders, I believe, in the area. Man, just absolutely a fantastic experience. He showed me some of his pipes specifically from his experience working on Father the Flame. Gorgeous pipes. And actually, I'm going to be posting pictures of that on our Twitter feed this week. So if you haven't done so already, be sure to follow us on Twitter. You'll see some of those pictures from that as well as from the meetup. What else, man? Okay, we got to eat. Well, I'm not going to eat any crow, okay? Like, I'm not going to eat any crow for this. You were worried about eating crow for this, but we need to acknowledge something. So there was, in Grand Rapids, and from the Furniture City Pipe Society, an event that took place, deeply inspired by Country Squire Radio. Allegedly.
It really is awesome. It really is awesome.
All right. So as listeners will recall, recently we did a Shire Select episode, actually a two-part series, Shire Select, where we walked through the various Hobbit meals and we paired them with pipe tobacco. We laid out what, you know, you might eat during that meal, or what the Hobbits rather might eat during that meal. And you paired that up with some delicious pipe tobacco that would go through it. And as we acknowledged on part two, we probably should have acknowledged it at the top of part one, but that, you know, obviously hobbits are hobbits. They're fictional creatures who have stomachs and fortitude that the rest of us, you know, mortal men don't actually have. And
so we eat 16 meals a day.
No, you don't do that. So they're putting away food, the amount, a quantity of food and thus pipe tobacco that would not necessarily be what we might call recommended. Okay. to do. Well, the good folks at the Furniture City Pipe Society thought, yeah, let's do it anyway. So they actually did a Shire Select event where they literally paired all of the various dishes that we walked through, including the one with the Hobbit sauce. They paired all of those with your pipe tobacco recommendations. And,
wow. Pretty amazing. Yeah. And that, you know, we actually got photos of this and they created a menu. I mean, it was awesome. It was truly awesome.
Yeah. I told them this because I told Eric, he's like, oh, did you not see this? I was like, oh no, I saw it. I definitely saw it. I was like, but I didn't mention it because I didn't, like, I thought this is not recommended. Like, I didn't want it to give the stamp of approval. I'm like, yeah, go and eat this much food and smoke this much pipe tobacco in the course of a 24-hour period.
Dude, whatever. It was the best thing ever. It was it was truly awesome, man. Just everything that they put together and all the time and energy they put behind that.
Oh, look, it looked incredible. And
on the backside of COVID too, so folks are, you know, starting starting to appreciate each other's fellowship and all this. It was really neat. We were honored by it.
Crazy folks out there. Absolutely loved getting to meet and re-meet and know folks in the area. And I cannot thank y'all enough for rolling out the red carpet and anyway, that's it was a blast, man. It was an absolute blast. And I remember very specifically this trip. I was thinking, like, I don't think I'm coming back to Grand Rapids, but then after that experience, I was like, okay, like I'm coming back to Grand Rapids. It's one thing when I think people can relate with this, but when the pipe society becomes like your pipe club and pipe friends become your family, they become your family. There's an element of that, and it really did feel like a family reunion.
That's wonderful, man. So. I'm so glad you got to experience that. And of course, man, hello to all our dear friends up there. And man, if you are ever in that part of Michigan, it is a joy to go interact with all those guys. And man, just a really active, very well put together pipe club that is incredible, just full of incredible people. So if you're ever up that way, please go inquire to where they're meeting or if they're meeting or anything like that. You'll be blessed to hang out with those guys.
Oh, and one last thing. I just got to mention this. There was a particular custom corn cob. You know, we talk about custom Missouri Meerschaum pipes and people have done some crazy things with corn cobs. The folks there at the Furniture City Pipe Society, they got some creative folks. Okay. I'm just saying, I don't know if we've ever done an episode on somebody's specific custom pipe before, but that might need to happen at some point.
You never know.
I just,
there are a lot of exquisite Missouri Meerschaum mods out there. Yeah. And this is one.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm just going to leave it at that. And hopefully it's something we will revisit in the near future. Okay. All right. There we go. All right. That's what's up there. Man, how are things at the shop? How are things in Jackson?
Man, things are great. You know, it's, as you heard from last week's, very poorly recorded episode, got to meet last week with Dave Shane, from the Pipery, and just, get to talk about, you know, kind of his experience in the pipe world and, the pocket jar that they have created and some of their other, cool inventions and stuff like that. So Dave, just a good guy, and really, you find good people in the pipe world, which, they're all over the place because there's so many of them, but you find those folks and you just want to support them. And I would just, encourage folks to support the pipery and what Dave's doing. It's just a neat outfit that they've got. Yeah. Anyway, man, yeah, we got some custom pocket jars made for the Country Squire, and those, if they're not already available for sale by the time that this recording goes out, they will be just days away. So anyway, fired up about that, and actually trying to get some events planned for the fall. We're finally loosening up on the local mask regulations and that type of thing. So trying to get some things on the books. But other than that, man, yeah, we're just plugging along. So it's going well around Ye Olde Pipe Shop.
Man, all right. Well, that's exciting, man. I always love when plans enter back into the books. That's a good sign. Well, man, all right. So we are this week doing an episode in our ongoing series, Pipe Smoking 101. Now, these are always a lot of fun to do because it's a chance for those of us who've been enjoying the pipe for some time to share, kind of take a back seat and really kind of give the show to those who are not, as well versed, the newer pipe smokers out there. I mentioned the Grand Rapids meetup. One of the things that we did while we were out there is we all kind of went around and shared, how we kind of first came to the pipe and what was that first experience like. And, I remember, just specifically through that process, thinking about how I learned how to smoke a pipe poorly before you kind of, came along and was my Obi-Wan here. it was specifically from, going to like YouTube and going to online spaces, especially if you don't have a quality pipe shop in your area or one that you feel very comfortable in. It's a great, venue to get started and kind of figure this thing out. And so, in many respects, this is us giving back to, giving back to the kids. I don't know about that. But anyway, point is, it's an opportunity for us to really focus on those that are kind of figuring this thing out. And so, man, today the topic for Pipe Smoking 101 is, how do I smoke flake tobacco, including you know, along with this, a little bit of extra knowledge for you. You got some history, got some best practices. We're not just going to show you how to do it. We're going to teach you a little something along the way. Or at least I say we. John David is here, ladies and gentlemen, as the professor to teach us along the way.
Nah, you know more than you think you do. Man, flake tobacco. Yeah, it's one of those, fascinating cuts that, of course, is one of the most unique cuts that are out there. And flake tobacco makes a statement, and it's so interesting to so many people, particularly new pipe smokers. And, it's intimidating. It's alluring. It makes a new smoker question, why would you do that? Why would you put tobacco in a flake form, you know? And what's the purpose of that? It's kind of crazy. Bo, do you remember the first time you encountered flake tobacco?
I mean, it had to have been at the Squire. If I'm not mistaken, I think it was actually at a long smoke competition where, you know, oftentimes with kind of the long smoke competitions, you got raffles and that sort of thing. And I believe I actually won. Oh gosh, I think it was it a Kentucky? I can't remember exactly what it was, but I do remember.
Yeah, it might have been the dark.
I think it was dark.
Dark Strong Kentucky.
That's right.
From Orlick, or it could have been the old Dark Fired. Yeah,
that's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think if I'm remembering correctly, in the raffle, I actually won some, and that was literally my first ever flake, and I do remember looking at it like, okay. How do I save face by admitting that I have no idea what to do with this?
I know, man. It's ridiculous. I remember the first time I saw flake, I remember thinking, like, what the heck do I do with that? And I then set off to crawl into a corner somewhere where I could smoke it by myself and not make a complete fool of myself, because I just didn't know what I was doing. But, man, flake tobacco. What is it? What is flake tobacco? And what's the story there? Flake tobacco is whole leaf tobacco that is compressed into blocks, and then it's sliced. So you can think of a big block that we call a plug. This is a giant block of whole tobacco leaves that have been smashed together under a hydraulic press and under thousands of pounds of pressure. And then they're sliced by these very powerful machines that can do them very efficiently and make these very neat little flakes that we know and love today. So why would you do that? Why would these big companies go to the trouble of, you know, these giant machines and slicing this tobacco in this way and all this? Mm. And this is where the history lesson comes in a little bit, right? Flake tobacco is hailed because of its superior flavor and its ability to stay fresh. Like most novel ideas in history, it was birthed out of both accident but also necessity, which is interesting. You can think of all the things that were just kind of accidentally cooked up, and flake tobacco is right there as well. Stories are told that tobacco, you know, harvested in the United States, we think about the center of the, you know, tobacco production for the world for so long. The tobacco here was placed traditionally in the bottom of the cargo hold of the ships that were sent back over into Europe, and you know, due to its bulk and weight, it just made more sense for these massive amounts of tobacco to kind of go towards the bottom of the ship, and the cargo placed on top created a lot of pressure and, of course, heat that was transferred there to the tobacco. And so that pressure and heat, you know, it didn't take the merchants long to figure out that, you know, these tobaccos, they really tasted kind of better after they arrived in Europe as opposed to when they left the New World. And so, you know, you've got this, Virginia leaf that's, on its way across the Atlantic Ocean. And by the time it gets there, it looks a little different. It tastes a little, it even smells a little different. It's just an interesting experience. And so they kind of deduce that this is happening. And is it, you know, is it the age? Is it because it took so long to get over there? Is it the pressure? Is it because this tobacco is sat in the, you know, bowels of the ship and is getting pressed upon? Or is it the heat created by that pressure and just all the, you know, stuffiness there in the lower parts of that ship? And the answer is yes, it's all those things. Right. Pressing tobacco became a way of enhancing the flavor and the smokability of the tobacco. And so that it just became something that was commonplace. The real reason that pressing pipe tobacco and then cutting it into flakes was popular, and this is really where the necessity of all this comes in, and it really is kind of neat. As you're probably aware, life at sea, 500 years ago, it's changed dramatically, right? I mean, you know, as hard as the modern sailor works today, and certainly the modern seaman in the Navy or you know, any Navy works. I mean, these are hardworking people, but you know, 500 years ago, the quality of their life was very different. You know, these were folks that were generally treated pretty poorly, and they were working in excruciatingly harsh conditions. And, they didn't have many luxuries. They didn't have many things to look forward to. It was one of those, just very brutal lifestyles. And one of the few luxuries that they did have were their rations of tobacco. Of course, along with their grog or beer or occasionally rum, depending on the part of the world you found yourself in. But, navies and the senior staff of these ships, they had a lot of incentive to keep the sailors kind of well medicated, Mm-hmm. It's like these guys
mutiny.
Were having,
what? Mutiny? Pipe tobacco.
Pipe tobacco and rum? Yeah, no, it's great. Hey, everything's going to be fine. It's going to be, let's just be a good night. And so
just chill. Just smoke a little pipe tobacco. That's fine. That's fine.
And, so they did. They had a lot of incentive to keep these guys kind of pumped up, and so tobacco provided that comfort, but there was a problem with tobacco, and that's the same thing that they, of course, the same problem that they faced in providing other things like nutrition to their sailors. The problem is that tobacco is a perishable item. It's a plant that is harvested and cured and then consumed. And, we're talking about a time period before tins. We have these fancy, brass colored, vacuum sealed tins that we all know and love and collect, and are even little plastic, 4 mil, Ziploc baggies that make such good, totes for tobacco, or, if you're really into it, your Mylar pouches that are, kind of a, beautiful sheen to them and all this stuff. And they didn't have any of that. all this was before that. And, how were sailors supposed to keep their tobacco, fresh? Again, it's a lot of the same questions that they had for foodstuffs. Long trips at sea, the tobacco leaves would just dry out. And really, due to that, you really kind of had your first hamster cage tobacco. This tobacco would just become almost dust-like, powdery and very brittle, dry, almost unsmokable, essentially. And so sailors experimented with ways to preserve the tobacco. Soaking it in water was something that folks often tried, but generally that just kind of created a disgusting, slimy mess. Rolling up tobacco in canvas and then covering the canvas with tar was a method tried by some, but it would preserve the tobacco, but it ruined the flavor of the tobacco. Essentially, you were left with something that was disgusting and toxic and just absolutely foul. And right. It's just tobacco obviously absorbs a lot of aromas and the characteristics of things around it, and so preserving tobaccos with sugar water seemed to work. That was something that seemed to allow for the preservation of the quality of the leaf and its smokability. Tobacco was essentially soaked in a simple syrup and then rolled up or pressed very tightly to limit its exposure to air. And of course, rum being the chosen drink often of the sea, rum eventually became popular. And who wouldn't like that? Like one of their favorite things, like also soaked in rum? Like, well yeah. That's great. Rum actually, has this tradition as kind of a preservative. At the Battle of Trafalgar, Horatio Nelson, he's peacocking on the front of his ship with his big hat, and he's just towards the end of this decisive battle, which he's won for, His Majesty's Navy and all this kind of stuff. And, and he gets, of course, shot because he's so conspicuous there on the front of his boat. And what do? They don't just, you can't give someone that famous a burial at sea, and, you got to bring the guy home, right? So what do? They pack him in rum. They bring him home. And and I think he's actually still preserved in that rum somewhere as well.
Man, sign me up for that.
I know, right? What a way to go, right? Yeah, so, you know, it has this kind of, you know, element where it's used in that way anyway. The sugar and the liquid and the compression, of course, you know, the leaf under all those circumstances would degrade more slowly. And obviously the flavor was enhanced due to the extra fermentation. But, you know, also the added flavor of the rum was kind of a nice treat at times as well. It didn't, certainly didn't hurt, for the sailor that was undergoing a lot of harsh conditions on the sea. And so the most popular flakes at this time were coins. What they would do, they would roll the tobacco up into these bars, and then they would store it very tightly, kind of in a log or in a roll shape, and then they would just cut the little coins off as they consumed the tobacco. And so your first most popular flakes were in coin style, which we still see today in the likes of Peterson's deluxe Navy rolls or a Scudo or something of that nature. All the different twists from Mac Baron and things like that. All this led to the development of the modern flake tobacco, which we know and love today. Tobacco blenders took note, you know, eventually, that, you know, hey, this process is popular. It's something that's familiar for these, seamen that are going over the world and then coming back home and wanting to, consume this tobacco. It's a known quantity. It's a house favorite, and it's something that's shared. And we can do this. We can simulate this. And so, they began to, take note and eventually began pressing, tobacco into block form, which is something a little easier to do than, so many of the twists. And so, you know, it's an interesting fact that so many flake tobaccos or coin cut tobaccos are now referred to as a Navy cut or a Navy blend. And generally that's due to the fact that they're rolled or in flake, flat sheet-like flake form, and less frequently because the tobacco, sometimes they'll name it that because it's got a rum flavor to the tobacco, but often it's solely just because of the cut of the tobacco. So it's something interesting to keep in mind. But flake tobacco, obviously, it was developed out of necessity because this is something that allows the tobacco to stay fresher for longer. Anytime the tobacco is exposed to less air, it just allows the tobacco to not degrade at a faster rate. And so, and of course, that extra age and pressure, the, you know, quality of the fermentation process that continues on, just aids the flavor of the tobacco in general. So that's your 30,000 foot view, history of flake tobacco and kind of why we do that, where that came from. And so now it's like, well, how do you smoke this stuff? It's awfully nice that, you know, we developed this way to preserve tobacco, but, you know, it can be a little intimidating, right? It's something to do, you know, when you see that tobacco at your favorite tobacco shop or, you know, if you're browsing online and you kind of come across some, you're like, well, that, you know, that is a little intimidating. So, the key is to leave it in the flake form until you're ready to consume it. You want to enjoy the full effect of the pressing process that was developed specifically to keep that tobacco fresh. And, you know, if you're enjoying it in that way, that method where you're, cutting up the tobacco when you are consuming it, it's kind of the original way to enjoy that tobacco. Primary way is to rub the tobacco out. A lot of people, what they'll do is they'll just kind of take the tobacco leaf and, the flake that's been presented to them. You've got flakes that are like the Old Dark Fired by Mac Baron, which are kind of sheet-like flakes. They come in little squares. You've got the coin cut flakes that are more circular, like little, medallions, you know, that you think of a Scudo or, something of that nature. So you've got these two types of tobaccos that are presented, and it's like, well, okay, so the primary way of consuming this is to basically rub it apart, to tear it out. You can kind of take the flake or the coin that's presented and just generally, shred at it, kind of work it between your fingers and tear it apart until it, you know, eventually presents itself like, you've got a bit of ribbon cut tobacco there. And, when you rub out flake tobacco to put in your pipe, you kind of, you kind of feel like maybe you're wimping out a little bit. You know, you almost feel like you're supposed to fold it up and just cram it in your pipe, or you're supposed to smoke it a different way or something like that. But generally, when you think about it, the rubbing out of flake tobacco is actually the original way to consume said tobacco. That tobacco was designed to be folded up and rolled tightly in order to keep it fresh until you're ready to consume it, and then you just kind of tear it apart. And so that's the way. Don't feel like you're lessening the experience by rubbing the flake apart to prepare it for your bowl. But so you want to tear the tobacco apart until it is kind of loose, and then these shreds you'll load into your pipe. You're going to pack more gently compared to a normal cut. You know, so if you've got a ribbon cut tobacco, we do a lot of times the standard method that we all talk about is a loose pack, a medium pack, a tight pack, to some degree that carries forth with flake tobacco that's been rubbed apart, but. You know, generally, you're actually going to want to pack it a little looser than that, on average, all the way up. And that's because those flakes, even though you've rubbed them apart, the ribbons that are stuck together, that ready-rubbed tobacco that it's become, they're still a little chunky. They're still have some moisture to them that's kind of stuck in there, and they tend to be a little clumpy and chunky. And so you're not going to want to pack it quite as tightly in order to get a proper pack in your pipe, and it'll help you keep it lit. That way. You'll light it slowly. It's a methodical process. This is something where you're going to give great care to where you're applying the flame. And so you've packed your pipe kind of loosely, and now you're going to gently roll your match over the top of the bowl, taking deep puffs, getting that flame deep inside the bowl. But this is going to be a process that probably will require more than your average two or three matches. You may burn a few more kind of getting that flame deep in there. I have done in this case a few kind of charring lights in order to get it lit. You'll make one pass and kind of toast the top, tamp it down, make another pass and toast it a little further, tamp it down. You're kind of caramelizing those sugars that are on the top level of that pipe tobacco. And once you do that, you build that bed, and slowly, as you're working it slowly, it really will reward you with a better, more thoroughly lit pipe and something that's great. You kind of have that primary method, rubbing it apart like that. The other alternative method, of course, is the fold and stuff method that a lot of folks just swear by. And I used to think I was a failure as a pipe smoker because I couldn't really get it down. And then I realized, well, no, you don't have to do that. That's not even how they probably did it initially, right? Man, right. Folding and stuffing the leaf, a lot of people swear by this, right? You're taking the flake that's been presented, and you're kind of maybe taking half a flake if it's one of these square flakes, folding it into quarters and just kind of putting it into your pipe almost as a cylinder. It's you're taking it and folding it gently into a little cylinder, and then kind of compressing it down into the bowl. This is going to take extra lighting, more patience. If you do get it down, if it's something that, occasionally I've been successful at this, and if you do get it down, it does produce a longer, slower burn. It's something where, there's less of the tobacco is exposed to the air, and it just takes a longer time, but it's something that's going to allow for more, or it'll need you to allow for more care and more prep time on the front. And you may go through half a box of matches, and you know what? If you've got a tongue that's made of titanium, go for it. That's great. third, you've got this kind of roll method, which is, if you're a real glutton for punishment, you might do this. You might take the tobacco in the leaf form and just kind of roll it up going with the grain. And it's just basically a modification of the fold and stuff method. And so, again, you're going to take a really long time in order to get the pipe lit. But what people swear by is the ability for the tobacco to stay lit longer, more consistently, once you get it lit that way. And just for the flavors to be that much more kind of baked and caramelized in the bowl. So some of the best tobaccos in the world are flakes. And of course, we're including coin slices in that because fundamentally that's what they are. We if you've listened to the show for a long time, you know that I'm a complete Orlik Golden Sliced fanboy, and have smoked way too much of that in my life. We talk about Escudo, Luxury Navy Flake. The Camoy Cask Number 7 is something that's very popular right now. Mac Barrett Barron's Dark Twist or Pure Virginia, or things that are harder to find. You know, we talked about Bob's Chocolate Flake or Gaywith and Hogarth's Rum Flake recently. You know, those are tobaccos that are all kind of in that form, and that, you know, if you haven't tried, you need to try a flake tobacco. There's just so many good ones out there. We want to hear from you. Like, what are your best practices on smoking flake tobacco? Are there tips and tricks that maybe we didn't mention on this episode, or things that we've kind of failed to think about? What's you know, something we haven't mentioned that that other listeners ought to try? And you know, again, best practices from anything from storage to packing and lighting and all that kind of stuff. And maybe there's some other, you know, best-selling flake tobaccos or not so best-selling flake tobaccos that we need to be aware of that you really like. So let us know. We'd love to mention some of those on the air.
With all of these pipe smoking 101s, I think it's important just to remind the newer pipe smokers, like, there's not one right way. I mean, there's a couple of really good ones. It might be, yeah, I mean, like, my point is, though, you don't beat yourself up if you can't figure it out at first. It's going to take a little finessing, and don't let somebody tell you that something that is working for you isn't the right way to do it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, don't let that kind of attitude come in. And in fact, I would even argue it's part of the American spirit to be able to, you know, figure out the flake tobacco method that works best for you and to share that along with others. And of course, here at Country Squire Radio, we are big fans of the American spirit, especially around this time of year, the 4th of July, just like our good friends at Missouri Meerschaum.
That is right, man. Of course, Missouri Meerschaum, a longtime American company that has deep roots in America's heartland. And they have put together a stellar pack kit for Independence Day 2021 this year, and it's available right now on their website. If you go to corncobpipe.com, you can find the Independence Day Bundle 2021. Really, really cool. This rustic American bundle features an antique clay pipe reminiscent of the original 13 colonies and a rugged corncob pipe of the New World. You may choose either a Jamestown or Williamsburg Old Dominion clay pipe, and either a Let Freedom Ring straight Fifth Avenue or a bent Rob Roy corncob pipe. Finally, each bundle comes with a 1.5-ounce tin of premium English aromatic Independence Day pipe tobacco that was blended, obviously, for Missouri Meerschaum and in a beautiful, you know, very handsome vacuum-sealed tin. And so the bundle won't be around for long. It's something that they're doing this July, and just something really exciting that you can grab from them. So check it out. Go to corncobpipe.com and get this special kit. A clay pipe and a corncob pipe and some delicious pipe tobacco all together. And the good folks there will ship it to your front door.
That's exactly right, man. And hey, thanks to the good folks at Missouri Meerschaum for sponsoring this show.
Pipe question of the week.
Pipe question of the week. All right, man. This one is coming in from Angel or Angela. Angel. Angle?
Or Angel. Yeah.
Angel.
It's probably Angel.
Yeah, man. Angel's writing in. This is what she has to say. Says, hey there, guys. Not sure if this is the proper way to reach out, but I'll go with it. I am a female pipe smoker. My question is how women should work through the space of the pipe smoking community. I am comfortable ordering the products online and smoking alone. However, there is a small want to engage with the community, and advice would be appreciated. Thank you for all the information you guys put out there. And again, that is from Angel.
Man, great question. And of course, you know, we're seeing more and more female pipe smokers kind of come into the fray, and we're happy to see that. And yeah, you know, I think essentially your outlets are going to be very similar to any other pipe smoker. You said you're comfortable ordering products online and, you know, wanting to engage in the community. It's part of it. That's what, you know, all the great forums that are out there, be it thispipelife.com or the Pipes Magazine forums, certainly all the crazy content on Facebook, the Instagram pipe community, and of course the YouTube pipe community. There's some great ways there to interact. You know, there's a lot of good groups that we have regularly pointed people to on the interwebs. Of course, Briar Nation is a favorite of Country Squire Radio, and those guys are crazy. If you've got some thicker skin, Angel, you may want to show yourself over there. There's several active female pipe smoking and cigar smoking voices in that realm, and Also, you know, I'm active on the Reformed Pipe and Cigar Lounge. There's Pipe Smokers of America. And oddly enough, the Gentleman's Pipe Society, too, has a very, you know, a very healthy contingent of lady pipe smokers. And so, you know, go check those out. I think you'll find a lot more people there that that you'll feel very comfortable very, very quickly in those settings. So, I want to take this, you know, kind of moment to also say, like, you know, it's just some great women that are involved in the greater pipe community. Of course, you know, some of the biggest names in American pipe retail. We've got Kathleen Kelly, who, of course, owns CupOfJoes.com, awesome online pipe and tobacco retailer. She does a great job and is just a very, very talented woman in her own business there. Sally Gottliebson, she is the pipe tart and deals with a lot of new pipes and estate pipes. And you always see Sally at the different pipe shows. She's got a great personality. Silver Gray and Scotty Purcell, two of the best known American artisan pipe makers, both females. And of course, tobacco blenders as well. We talked in the past about Mary McNeil with you know, McClelland and our own Liz First here at the Country Squire, who recently retired, has several blends to her name as well. So anyway, be motivated, be encouraged. I think there's a lot of great opportunity for you to climb in. I think you'll be affirmed pretty quick.
And, you know, one of the things too, I think I get that it can kind of feel like a boys club, especially when like a lot of the voices that you hear in the pipe community are male. But let me just also encourage some of our sisters of the briar out there. If y'all want to start like a podcast, a little female centric podcast or anything like that, just to kind of, you know, highlight some voices, man, the community would very much welcome that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So just throwing that out there. I never tell people to start a podcast, but I will say, like,
no, not if it's going to compete with ours.
Well,
you know?
No, it's not going to compete. It's you know, the more the merrier. Absolutely,
that's right.
But
that's
right. I do. I think there's you know, I'm a big proponent of, you know, especially when it comes to podcasts, like, you know, the more focused your art is, the more universal it becomes. And I think there's great value that can occur there, not just for, you know, women in the pipe smoke community, but also for the men as well. So anyway, all that to say, just want to throw that out there. I think that's a great question. Thank you so much for writing in, Angel. And want to say, if you've got a pipe question of the week for us, be sure to send it in. That's show@countrysquireradio.com. Again, that is show@countrysquireradio.com.
Quick fire
with the
squire.
Quick fire questions.
Ow!
All right, man. Quick fire questions. We are continuing on to July Madness.
What? This is insane.
March Madness.
I don't even know where to go with this anymore.
This is not going to take all of it's 2021 Madness is what it is. And you know what? It is Madness. So I think it's appropriate. All right, here we go. We're continuing on our Heroes of the Bowl bracket. We are now into the Final Four and going to bring us to the championship. This one, my friend, there will be friends will be made. Hearts will be broken. Enemies, enemy line drawn. And we may never have some of the same listeners ever again. Why are we doing this? Well, that's
a great question.
All right. We'll get one probably less controversial of the two out of the way. All right.
Okay.
Heroes of the Bowl. This is the Final Four. Here we go.
Okay.
Faulkner versus Sir Walter Raleigh.
I got to go with Sir Walter Raleigh. That's painful, but I think I got to go with Sir Walter Raleigh. I think, you know, as the pipe historian and someone who cares about the genesis of our hobby, and obviously connected to a lot of other important historical events as well. I'm going with Walter. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, your Mississippi card has officially been revoked.
It's been if not revoked, at least bludgeoned, you know?
Yeah. Wow. All right. Okay. Wow. All right. You can live with your decisions there. All right. So Sir Walter Raleigh making it to the championship round. Who will he be going up against? Now, that is the question, because right now, this is the one that people have been waiting for. People are on the edge of their seats. In one corner, we have J.R.R. Tolkien, the OG of the double R's in the writing community. George, I'm talking about Tolkien himself. All right. Hobbits, orcs, rings of power. pipe smoking, of course. Now, he is going toe-to-toe with his BFF, his bestie, Bros of the Briar, clashing in C.S. Lewis, him of the wardrobe, him of the space trilogy that nobody ever talks about, him of the Screwtape letters, him that was naysayed by every single pastor out there until he died, and now every single pastor has to include one Lewis reference in all of their, you know, sermons, and it's kind of weird how that happens. But anyway, regardless, C.S. Lewis versus J.R.R. Tolkien, John David Cole. And I just want to say, before you say whatever you're about to say, John David is speaking for himself and not for me, nor necessarily for the views of Country Squire Radio. John David Cole, who wins, Tolkien versus Lewis?
I think, therefore, I am.
It can't be a draw, man. We got to go to the championship.
No,
on this one.
I'm gonna go probably the same route I did as before.
Okay. Okay.
And you know, answering it from a pipe smoker's perspective, right? Okay. Someone who is incredibly you know, interested in the community, indebted to the community, the story of it, the spirit of it. I gotta go with Tolkien.
Wow.
I gotta go with Tolkien.
Okay.
And
right.
And that I think that's important. No one. Probably from a literary standpoint, but also in a posthumous standpoint, frankly, has done more for our pastime than J.R.R. Tolkien. It's kind of crazy when you think about it. I mean, there are a lot of people, as we've mentioned many times before, that kind of got on this whole, you know, pipe smoking bandwagon when they saw their favorite hobbitses pull out their church warden in whatever movie it was. And you know, yeah, we can kind of say, roll our eyes and say, oh, okay, there's another long bottom leaf smoker kind of deal. But, you know, a lot of those people today are people with artisan pipes that they've collected and have gotten into, you know, some very sophisticated English blends and collecting, you know, handmade briars from the past. And, you know, these are seasoned pipe smokers today, a lot of them. A lot of them were not people that just entered and then left after the Hobbit movies kind of got stale. And, you know, so a lot of these people are permanent entries into our community. And we owe that to him. I mean, that would not have happened without the works of J.R.R. Tolkien and, of course, all the creative people coming after him building up that legacy. And so, I think as a pipe smoker, I'm going to go with Tolkien.
Okay, I got to tell you, it certainly justifies you picking Sir Walter Raleigh. I almost feel like you set that up so that you had an out for the Tolkien V.
I really didn't. It, okay. Yeah, it just worked out that way.
All right. Well, no, you have laid out the groundwork then, my friend. You have kind of set the stage in terms of talking about choosing somebody based off of the legacy and kind of the longevity that their impact has had on the pipe community.
Is this a precedent? Is that a thing?
Well, so this is the situation, because now here we are. This is the championship round. We have Sir Walter Raleigh, the OG Sea Dog himself of the pirate Queen Elizabeth Sea Dogs and her sometimes consort versus, again, J.R.R. Tolkien. As you have just laid out, both of these gentlemen have had significant impact on the pipe community and kind of where it is in this certain era. And of course, the era of the day. I think that, you know, we could talk about which one is more of a morally righteous man. Sure. But that's not the that's certainly not how you laid this out. So, man, this is the big question. Sir Walter Raleigh, the pirate ish versus J.R.R. Tolkien, the godfather of the modern fantasy. Who's it going to be?
I just wish you could say the word Raleigh correctly. Like,
never.
If you could just say Walter.
Sir Walter Raleigh is going to Meerschaum, and and he is going to go to Missouri Meerschaum, and he is going to. There's got to be something else I mispronounce. Everybody's name. He's going to see all of our
name,
pipe
right.
members. All right, no, don't change the subject, man. You're trying to get out of this. Who's going to be the winner?
Can we talk about it next week?
No.
This week. All right.
This week. This is it. This is how we do.
Shooting from the hip. I'm going with Tolkien. I'm going with Tolkien. I think, you know, and that's probably a little hypocritical, but, you know, pipe tobacco in its modern form, may not exist without Sir Walter Raleigh, but, man, I'm gonna go with Tolkien, man. He's a hero of the bowl and someone that, is, almost universally, acclaimed and, you know, someone that, has quite a legacy, both, and a positive legacy, both inside and outside the pipe smoking world, and someone that we can look up to. So there, yeah, I'm gonna go with JRR.
All right, now that's good. That's the easy choice there. I built it up, but we think we all knew where that was going.
As much as I would like to know, kind of, you know, the history of the Elizabethan court and all that other stuff, if I had to really be buddies with one of them and you know, all that, I'd probably pick the latter.
Yeah, there you go. All right, man. Well, this was really good. Thank you so much for sitting through this next bracket, or this round of the brackets, the Heroes of the Bowl. I think we've got one more final bracket left.
I hope so.
I think that's right. I think, and I mean, this is where it's actually, I joked about friends getting made and enemies and such. The next one, just to like make you sweat a little bit, is tobacco blenders.
That's awful.
Yeah. You get, like, we're going to have folks like Jeremy Reeves on that.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have,
man,
Alfred Dunhill on there.
Uh-huh. These are.
We're going to have Mikey McNeil. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
There's going to be some names, man. There's going to be some peoples. And no, we've done the entire thing. It's our final bracket and we got to do it. So.
Whose idea was this? This is a terrible idea.
I got to go back and take a look. We gave up. I think it was Nathan. Nathan, was it you? I think it was you. All right. There we go.
All right. Well, here we go.
You can blame him. All right. That'll be next week. It'll be good.
Your thoughts, your comments, listener feedback.
Listener feedback. All right, man. This week on Listener Feedback, we've got a email in from Tom King. And here is what Tom King has to say. Hey, JD and Bo, I wasn't sure if this was the right place to send listener feedback. I think we get a lot of questions on like where like if we're reading it or if you're sending it, then it's the right place. Like, you're good. So don't this happened twice. This
email,
episode.
iTunes review.
Yeah.
Tweet. You know, these are all appropriate places.
That's right. Probably the least best place is Facebook messages. This probably gets checked the least.
No, those actually, that's not a good place to do.
That is not a good place.
I will agree with that.
Yeah. Okay. I think it's collected like maybe once a year. But anyway. All right. All that to say, here's what King had to say. He said, just a quick note to say thanks for the podcast. It's really kept my spirits up and taught me much about this fascinating hobby. I'm a newish pipe smoker from the UK, and I've had a pipe for about 4 years. My first being a Morgan Bones poker paired with some Ashton smooth sailing aromatic tobacco. During our recent lockdown in England, I was pointed in the direction of your podcast and have since got much more into the hobby. I've gone from rarely smoking my pipe, usually only while camping, and more regularly enjoying the leaf and the briar. Inspired by your podcast, I have started to try different styles of pipes, including a Peterson Churchwarden, a Bent Author, and a Stubby Zulu Dog, also a Morgan pipe, and fantastic. I have also been trying different tobaccos, branching out, tasting English blends and Peterson, Samuel Gaywith. My favorite so far is Squadron Leader, and also tasting some different aromatics as a more and more every day, everyday smoking. Just wanted to let you fellas know that your podcast really helps us newbies get into the hobby and feel connected with others despite not having a local pipe community. My other hobby is wood carving, usually spoons and crafts, so I have even tried carving my own pipe, which actually turned out better than I expected. As a school teacher, mid-pandemic, and outdoorsman who is stuck inside more than usual, there is nothing more relaxing after a busy day at work than switching on an episode of The Country Squire, lighting up a bowl of fine tobacco and enjoying them whilst carving outside. Thanks, and if I ever get the chance to visit Jackson, I will certainly pop in and say hi. All the best, and again, that is from listener Tom King. Well, Tom,
what a treat to get a note like that from someone all the way over in the UK. So, man, Tom, thank you so much, man. We're glad that we've been a small part of your pipe adventures and are encouraging you along the way. And man, please, if you ever find a reason to come to a place like Jackson, Mississippi, don't just pop in. We'll roll out the red carpet for you.
Tell you what, do you know, out of curiosity, the furthest that somebody has made a pilgrimage from?
Yeah, the Gold Coast of Australia.
Well, there you go.
Yep. We've had a couple from Australia, and man, that was a fun time too. They brought me a few treats, and man, we've had a really nice fellow from Scotland come through, and man, Austria, Germany, Italy, just all over, man. So we're always grateful to see folks.
Man, that's awesome. All right. Well, hey, if y'all got some listener feedback for us, like we mentioned, you can send them in through email show@countrysquireradio.com. You can write us an iTunes review. It's a great way to help out the show. Doesn't cost you a dime to do it. If you're able to spend a few dimes, though, to help support the show, head over to patreon.com/countrysquireradio, where you can join the Country Squire Radio International Pipe Club. We'd love to have you there. We also want to encourage you. You can follow us on Twitter @SquireRadio is the place to do it. You can follow John David @JohnDavidCole or the shop @_CountrySquire. But all that information and more can be found at CountrySquireRadio.com. Actually, even as I'm saying this, what won't be there now is Beardcore's the location of the Beard Cave, because I think that's posted on our website right now. He was okay funny. With it. I was like, you know, put it on the website. Okay, just making sure. All right, let me
whatever.
Let me make sure to take that down before this episode goes live. But anyway, Matt, hope everybody is having a good week. Matt, I'm glad that you're on an uptick. That just makes me so happy.
Feels good, man. Looking forward to pulling that pipe back out, and man, let's go have a good week.
Hey, man, that's right. Let's go have a day.
See you, brother. This is where I say you're doing the backup recording, right, Bo?
Oh.
And this is where Bo nervously laughs and then pretends like he was doing the backup recording, and then
yeah, I've been doing it this entire time.
Right. Oh, that's awesome.
Busted.
Feels so much better. Okay.
All right, you can breathe a little bit easier.
If that ever happened again, I quit.
That's hilarious. That is absolutely hilarious. Okay, here we go.
Oh, that's funny.